mission. Learn more at standuptocancer.org/AA.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Why'd the kid jump off the boat?
I don't know. Why?
Peer pressure.
Oh. Good one, Ned.
Ned isn't funny, but Ned owns a boat, and you don't. So every time Ned tells another one of his unfunny boat puns, you're going to laugh loud and keep on laughing until you get a boat of your own.
A pier where you put a boat.
Yeah, I get it.
And when you do get a boat of your own, make sure you save money by bundling it with your home, auto, or other vehicles with Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states.
Is your vehicle stopping like it should? Does it squeal or grind when you brake? Don't miss out on summer brake deals at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger. At least 350 people are dead, over 1,000 injured, as the Israeli military carries out airstrikes on Hezbollah targets in Lebanon.
We ask residents of Lebanese villages to pay attention to the message and warning published by the IDF and heed them. This is an advance warning for your own safety and the safety of your family.
IDF spokesman Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari says they're trying to warn civilians ahead of the strikes as often as possible. The United Nations General Assembly will get underway this week. Tomorrow, President Biden will give what's being described as his farewell address. New evidence in the case against Ryan Routh, the suspect in an apparent assassination attempt on former President Trump. It's a letter in a box sent to a witness in which Routh says he failed in an attempt to take Mr. Trump's life. Back to school for students at Appalachia High in Georgia after the deadly school shooting earlier this month. This is ABC News. He was kidnapped over 7 decades ago, but an online ancestry test has reunited a man with his family.
Luis Albino was 6 years old in 1951 when he was kidnapped while playing at a park in Oakland. Now over 70 years later, Albino has been found. The Bay Area News Group reports Albino's niece found her uncle living on the East Coast. He's now a father and a grandfather, a retired firefighter and Marine Corps Vietnam veteran. He was lured away in 1951 by a woman promising candy. He was flown to the East Coast with a couple and was raised as if he was their son. Alex Stone, ABC News.
California Governor Gavin Newsom signed a measure which bans all plastic shopping bags. It goes one step further than the current law, which allows thicker plastic bags because they were considered reusable. But as it turns out, people weren't reusing them and more plastic was being wasted than ever before. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
The smarter way to clean your floors, it's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop. Swiffer Power Mop.
Okay, everyone, what did you think of the chocolate bar?
It's too chewy.
It feels kind of chalky.
Too much nougat.
I need to go brush my teeth.
Business is booming for Steph's small marketing research firm.
After all these focus groups, there's only one conclusion. I need more researchers.
And she's way too busy researching.
Does this have peanuts?
To waste time researching resumes.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. Put our matching platform to work so you can spend less time searching and more time connecting with talented candidates. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. The estranged husband of a missing Dodge County woman was charged Friday. Zachariah Rosh received one count of first-degree intentional homicide with a domestic abuse enhancer and another of hiding a corpse. Rosh's wife, Crystal, was reported missing from their rural Clyman home in June. The Dodge County Sheriff's Office later arrested the 37-year-old Rosh after he was found using his wife's financial accounts without her permission. The missing persons case was eventually classified as a death investigation. Ozaukee County deputies took a man in a mental health crisis into custody Friday. The sheriff's office says they learned the suspect had threatened to kill his family and shoot up a Grafton dental office. The man was also known to have access to several firearms. Deputies described the man as being confrontational when he was ordered out of his vehicle. The suspect was later subdued with a less lethal impact weapon, and he was taken into custody. He was then taken to a local hospital for medical clearance. Criminal charges of terror threats are pending. Christina Boardman has officially taken over as the new Secretary of the Wisconsin Department of Transportation. Boardman says one of her first big challenges will be putting together the biennial budget.
We are looking at all of our programs, what significant transportation projects are coming up and how we look to fund those. We did get a lot of one-time funding in the last biennial budget. So when there's these new programs that roll out and it's one-time funding, we are closely examining those programs. And is this something that we want continued investment in going forward?
Boardman has nearly three decades of state government service, including 10 years as a legislative aide for the Wisconsin State Assembly before transitioning to the Transportation Department in 2005. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A crisp and cool, refreshing day today under bright, sunny skies as highs only climb to the upper 60s. As a few clouds filter in later this evening, overnight lows will fall to the low 40s. Patchy fog is possible early tomorrow morning, then it'll be sunny and 70. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 65.
Great start to the week for the grain markets. It's almost like corn, soybeans, and wheat were competing to lead today's rally. Key now will be followed through buying after clearing some overhead resistance. Live cattle futures also climbed on top of resistance. Lean hog futures, yeah, they were roadblocked by last week's high.
Live from the ever-tightening grip of autumn via Farm Journal Studios, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we begin with a conversation with Brian Hoops from Midwest Market Solutions. Later, Kerry Artak from Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. And directly following the news, Jack Scoville from the Price Futures Group. I'm the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Jeff Flory.
All right, Davis. You know, I hate to say it, but it sounds like you may have already OD'd on pumpkin spice.
I am fired up, baby. I am
you
fired
are.
Up. Yes.
I mean, this has got you, fall has got you all excited.
Absolutely it does. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's not just me. I know there are others just like me out there. They're out there. And let me tell you something.
I'm telling you. Let me tell you this right now. There is nobody out there just like you. Okay. I mean, one of a kind.
Maybe.
Right? There he is.
I would never say that. But didn't you learn like in the history books, you know, the spice trade was a whole thing. Dutch East India Company, the Silk Road. What were they doing?
Yeah.
They were transporting pumpkin spice from parts unknown straight to our tables. And I'm glad they did.
That's right. China. Mm-hmm. China created this whole new global economy on pumpkin spice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're not all bad.
Not all bad.
Their autumn flavors are lovely.
Welcome to AgriTalk and Trade Talk. I'm Chip Flory. That is Davis Michelson. What a way to start the week.
We'll take it, baby.
Yep. Last full week of trade in the month of September. God, I can't believe I'm saying that already. And here it is. Big gains in the grain market, solid gains in the livestock markets. It was a good day. Good way to start the day. Cotton futures were mixed. A little lower in the nearby contracts. But some strength in the back months. Okay, let's get to the markets. What do you got,
yes.
bud?
Well, Chip, December soft red winter wheat futures posted a low range open and a high range close, but did climb back on top of the pivotal 580 level. The trick for front month SRW futures will be to post back-to-back higher closes above 580, and that's something the market has not done since June 27. Export inspections of wheat in the week ended September 19 totaled just over 711,000 metric tons. That topped trade expectations and pushed shipments out to nearly 36% ahead of the year-ago pace. USDA has estimated a 17% increase in wheat exports this year. December HRW wheat futures 13 and one quarter cents higher at 577 and a quarter. December SRW wheat up 14 cents to 582 and one half.
Yeah.
December spring wheat closed at 619. That's up 11 on the day.
That close above 580 in December SRW futures, I think, is very important. Now we've got to see some follow through buying tomorrow. Let's not make it a one and done close above 580. If we can get back to back higher closes above it, we could. Yeah, the funds have been getting out of the short positions in wheat, but this would get them to move even more aggressively out of those short positions.
Well, Chip, December corn futures opened on session lows and closed near session highs with prices back on top of the pivotal 410 level. Export inspections of corn in the week ended September 19 totaled to just over 1.1 million metric tons. That easily topped trade expectations. The risk of heavy rains on a harvest-ready corn crop in the U.S. Southeast and Eastern Corn Belt later this week provided some support for prices, but most of the buying was triggered by short covering by professional trading funds. Funds have lightened the short position the past few weeks with little upside price movement, but prices are now positioned to test resistance at last week's high of 415. Mm-hmm. December corn futures today were 11 and 3/4 cents higher at 413 and one half. March corn up 11 and 3/4, 431 and 3/4. July corn futures closed at 448 and 3/4. That's up 11 cents today.
If I had to put something on the wish list for corn this week, it would be a decent export sale. You know, something in that that has to be reported on the daily export sales announcement protocol. That, I think, would help that corn market out a lot this week.
Well, Chip, soybeans, bean meal, and bean oil all pushed to the upside, with soybean futures leading the way higher. USDA says export inspections of soybeans in the week ended September 19 totaled just over 485,000 metric tons, in line with trade expectations. USDA also reported the sale of 165,000 metric tons of U.S. soybeans for delivery to unknown destinations, and that's for the current marketing year. Dry conditions in Brazil's northern soybean production areas provided some support for prices, as did short covering by professional trading funds and chart-based buying. November soybean futures opened on session lows and closed near session highs and at the highest level since August 5. November beans today 27 and one quarter cents higher, but 10.39 and a quarter. January beans up 27 and one quarter cents to 10.56 and three quarters. March beans closed at 10.69 and three quarters. Chip, that's up 26 cents today.
Nice start to the week, no doubt about it. December soybean meal up $9.50 today. December bean oil up 48 points.
December cotton today was 8 points lower, 73.44. On your livestock's, Friday's cattle on feed report got a neutral read from the market, and futures today factored in last week's gains in the cash market. Front month futures closed above 182.50 for the first time since August 1. October fat cattle today were 77.5 cents higher at 183.25. October feeder futures, 57.5 cents higher at 244.47 and one half. And on the snout side, resistance in October lean hogs at 82.50 is proven to be tricky. October hogs today, 7.5 cents higher at 82.30. The December contract up 65, 74, 87 and a half. Chip.
Yeah, that is solid resistance right now at that 82.50 in October hogs. All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. Hey, good afternoon, Jack. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everything out there?
Real good, real good. Some harvest is underway. Things are starting to come out of the field, and we got a nice rally in the grains at the start of the week. What was behind this?
Well, I think listening to Davis and you talk about it, I think you guys touched on it. I think the weather here in the Midwest, down in South America, here in the Midwest, taking the top end off of yield expectations now, even with the harvest underway. And the weather in South America, especially Central and Northern Brazil, being very concerning. especially for soybeans now, but corn later on in the year. So I think that was fundamentally the thing that triggered it. Certainly having corn export inspections over a million tons didn't hurt. Yeah. I think the chart-based buying was a very big factor in this market as well. The funds caught very short all these markets, and looks like they're scrambling to get out.
Yeah, yeah, they've lightened up that short position some, though, haven't they, Jack?
Oh yeah, they've been doing this over the last couple of weeks, but now we're starting to get some indications that we're crossing some moving averages and things like that. So I think the buying's going to step up.
Yeah, boy, that would be all right. And we got to watch out what's going to be happening down in the southeast. It looks like a tropical storm's going to turn into a heck of a hurricane by the time it hits the Gulf Coast.
Yeah, they're saying Category 2 or Category 3, and that could flat some crops down for the lodging and bring some very unwanted rainfall at this time of year.
Yep, yep. Poor timing on that rain. There's no doubt about it. Jack, good stuff, man. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great.
All right, Jack Scoville, Price Futures Group. We got Brian Hoops up next.
Every year, humic loss makes it harder for crops to absorb applied nutrients. Resurge from Helena is a low-dust granule that delivers humic compounds to improve nutrient uptake and plant growth. The Resurge granule's superior hardness and uniformity withstands pneumatic applications, allowing for even distribution in your fertilizer and across the acre. Energize your soil and elevate your crops. Contact your Helena representative to learn more. Always follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
It's harvest time across the region, and that means long hours for you and the machines you depend on. It also means a heavier load of dust, dirt, and contaminants for those machines. That's why you should protect them with Donaldson filters. Donaldson offers a full line of air, fuel, lube, and hydraulic filters, engineered to deliver superior performance and protection for your equipment. No wonder so many OEMs worldwide specify Donaldson filters. After all, Donaldson literally invented the tractor air filter. Ask for Donaldson filters at your local parts supplier today.
Spring floods, fall floods.
There's extreme fires, extreme drought.
Extreme weather cost American farmers over $21 billion in 2023.
Our farm is more resilient through the use of cover crops.
These USDA climate programs are good for Main Street America.
Conservation practices that help farmers weather these storms are at risk in the Farm Bill.
If you're smart farming, you're also climate smart farming.
Climate smart farming is just smart farming. Learn more at investinourland.org. Paid for by Invest in Our Land.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lam Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lam Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lam Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lam Ag Services.
Well, now, which would you rather have? World-class seed genetics and traits, or seed that's been tested and proven to yield in your area? Well, with Pioneer, you get both, plus the support of a dedicated local team. For the unbeatable combination of elite seed genetics, local knowledge and insights, and rigorous local testing, contact the team at Bowers Seeds and Service, your local authorized Pioneer sales representative serving the Durand area. At Pioneer, our name is our mission, and what's next happens here.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad you're with us on this.
I was afraid you were experience a moment, an episode of talking on the radio phobia there for a second.
No, I'm good.
No,
I'm
you
good.
Okay?
I was just enjoying a little Nickelback there. Is there anything wrong with that?
Oh, yeah. And then here I jumped ahead and assumed the worst. You know what? That's
yeah.
my bad. That's my bad.
Yeah. No,
bad side kicking. That's what it is. I'll work on it.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's bring in Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. Good afternoon, Brian. How you doing?
Hey, Chip, good to talk with you again. I am doing real well. How about yourself?
Good, good, good. I'm awesome. Doing just fine. Awesome. Okay, what are you hearing? What are you hearing from your clients?
Oh, a lot of things. You know, in fact, I did a little traveling this weekend. It's a good time to talk with you because I went out from Missouri up to Yankton, South Dakota and Sioux Falls on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It came back to Springfield. So I'll do a little bit of road traveling and seeing a lot of fields that are turning, especially soybeans. They're in the process of turning, maybe not quite ready to harvest yet. The corn is turned in a lot of areas, and there's some taken out in Missouri, you know, a little bit around Omaha, Nebraska area. It's just maybe just a little too early yet, but some of this crop that's being harvested, you know, can't say this for everybody, but I think there's a lot of record type yields being talked about in areas of the Corn Belt. You know, central Missouri was 260 to 270, some corn that was taken out. There's some 300 irrigated corn around here.
Wow.
So pretty amazing type yields. Southern Illinois, Southern Indiana, record type yields. Once again, it's the soybeans that I think people are real cautious about because they didn't get that rain in August, September to fill out the pods. That's a concern that maybe those beans are a little bit smaller than what they thought they would end up being. And maybe the yields are going to be a little smaller than what they hoped they would be as well.
Boy, the expectations on this crop, both corn and soybeans, Brian, it's never been higher. The expectations for what the yields could be and the ability of this crop to live up to those expectations is going to be really, really difficult.
Absolutely, it is. You know, we're talking right now, second largest corn crop ever produced and harvested in U.S. history, the largest soybean crop. And these record yields are, you know, they're far and away above what last year's yields would be. You know, we're talking, you know, a considerable jump from 177 up to 183 for corn. And we may have the genetics to do that. It's questionable. Did we have the growing season to do it? Did we get enough moisture in certain areas? Of course, some areas, boy, they had too much moisture and were fighting, you know, water logged fields and flooding all year. But yeah, it's probably going to be an interesting next couple weeks because it does look like it's going to be this week, next week before we really start pushing harvest progress aggressively and start hearing more and more yields. Now, you look at what happened in the market today, and I think this, you know, it really changes what everybody was thinking. I thought everyone went into August and early September was the anticipation these big crops are going to push us lower. We're going to make harvest lows, you know, September, October, and then have some sort of post-harvest rally. Well, that's a little bit different scenario playing out here as we go into late September than what a lot of people, including myself, were thinking.
Okay. So here we are starting the last full week of trade in September, and we kick things off with a really impressive rally in the grains today. And, I mean, wheat came along for the ride, corn along, beans along. Why? What changed that attitude that you were just talking about?
Well, excuse me. I think part of it has to do with what is happening in Brazil. We're not getting much of the rains. You know, on Friday morning, there were rains forecasted for northern Brazil where they want to plant corn and their soybean crops. And those rains didn't materialize in that part of the region. It went farther south into central and southern Brazil. So it's nice that they had rains, but where they're planting this crop, they really need some moisture pretty bad. So we're fighting against that. And I think that really was what changed us. You know, even in the overnight last night, some calls were a little bit lower, kind of a steady mix call, and we were, you know, a couple cents better on the opening, and things just kind of built from there and really rallied. So getting the Chinese buying interest in the overnight trade when they come to market, we're getting some export business, you know, you looked at the vast majority of this marketing season, and China had neglected the U.S. from any soybean purchases whatsoever all the way through August. Now, since we've changed the calendar, they started to buy more in September, but China had bought about 10 million metric tons of soybean imports during the month of August. That's a new all-time record, and only about 2% of that came from the U.S. And through the 8 months of the year, they imported over almost 54 million tons of beans from Brazil, and that's up 217% U.S. imports for the year, down 73%. Now, we've changed that in September, and this month they've been much better buyer of U.S. soybeans, and a lot of that is a hedge against weather in South America that they may not be able to produce the crop that they are expected to down south, and so they're hedging by buying U.S. products.
But boy, it feels like Brazil's going to continue to be a competitor, isn't it? Right, into the new crop supply, it feels like they're going to be a competitor.
Yeah, you know, and if they would get their rains, they're going to be more than a competitor. They're really going to just destroy the U.S. as far as export business. You know, Safras was out, I think, on Thursday or Friday. And they raised the South American outlook for Brazil. Their soybean forecast is now almost 172 million tons. That's up nearly 13% from last year. And that equates to a crop of about 6.2 billion bushels. You know, we're going to grow a 4.58 or 4.6 billion bushel crop this year. That'll be a new all-time record for the U.S. But Brazil's looking at over 6 billion bushels if they can get this rains to materialize. So, yeah, we're definitely not the number one producer of soybeans any longer. It belongs in Brazil. And I think, you know, you think you have to change your marketing a little bit. My ideas for a post-harvest rally, you know, we may not get one. We may get a pre-harvest type rally, and we may have to be more active selling now rather than banking on harvesting the crop, storing, and hoping South America has a problem, because they're having their problem right now.
Okay. You said something about the export inspections on both corn and soybeans. Wheat number was good, too. I was a little surprised by that number, given the problems that we're having on the Mississippi River, Brian. Have some in the market overstated the problems on the Mississippi?
No, I don't think so. I think, you know, what happened with Mississippi, you know, we had the hurricane, we had some flooding, disrupted us for 3 or 4 days. And the inspections that we saw this morning, yeah, they were okay. You know, almost 18 million bushels of soybeans, 43 of corn. Decent numbers. The wheat, I think a lot of it's coming off that Pacific Northwest, and that was 26 million. Okay. That was a 10-week high for wheat. But yeah, in the Delta or in the Gulf regions, we may get more disruptions. You know, there's another hurricane brewing that may bring some rain into the Springfield, Missouri area, and certainly the southern plains areas, parts of Tennessee and Kentucky, you know, Arkansas, that region. So we may get some more disruptions that may slow down some of those exports once again.
Okay. All right. How do you feel about the export picture on corn and soybeans? Like you said, it was so slow there for a while, but it has improved. Is it good enough?
Well, you know, we're still behind last year's pace for soybeans. We've narrowed the difference, but we're still running, you know, behind in soybeans. We're doing really well in corn. This our export business that we've seen, this improvement that we've seen, I think it continues as long as there's weather issues in South America. Now, okay. if we overcome those issues, if we get back to more normal planting conditions, more normal growing conditions, their rainy season is really during the first week of October. If that becomes more normal, I think your buying interest starts to slow, because that concerns about if they're going to produce that crop kind of take a back seat for a short period of time. And at that point in time, you know, prices may start to fall. Maybe we look at lower prices here in the U.S. and then you know, China or other countries step in and start to hedge that business once again. But we need to continue this pace. I think the question is, can we continue it without any South American weather issues?
Right, right. Okay. You know, those South American weather issues, it's as big of a deal for the corn market as it is for soybeans, just simply because we're pushing back the start. If we push back the bean plantings, we're pushing back the bean harvest, which means we're pushing back the plantings of the winter corn crop there in Brazil. And that's about three quarters of the crop of corn that they're going to grow. Okay, we're in the middle of a conversation with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. Brian, when we get back, I want to go over some marketing strategies, and then let's talk about what's going on in the livestock trade.
This is Andrew McRae, host of the American Countryside. I'm also a farmer and rancher from Northwest Missouri, and I hope you'll join me each week for Farming the Countryside as we take a look at the top issues impacting agriculture as told by the people farming and working in our industry. We'll talk about markets and trade, share some of the latest tips and trends for grain and livestock producers, and take a look at trends impacting rural America. Join me for Farming the Countryside on many local radio stations or on your favorite podcast platform, or just go to farmingthecountryside.com.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Let's go to the markets page at ProFarmer.com and check today's closes, where December hard red winter wheat futures were 13 and one quarter cents higher at 577 and a quarter. December SRW wheat up 14 cents to 582 and one half. December corn futures 11 and three quarter cents higher on the day at 413 and one half. March corn up 11 and three quarters to 431 and three quarter cents. November soybean futures 27 and one quarter cents higher today at 1039 and a quarter. Jan beans up 27 and one quarter cents to 1056 and three quarters. December cotton today, 8 points lower, 73.44. On your livestock, October fat cattle were 77 and a half cents higher at 183.25. October feeders 57 and one half cents higher at 244.47 and a half. And October lean hogs today, 7.5 cents higher, 82.30. Visit tryprofarmer.com for more.
Thinking about adding cover crops? Olson Farms of Mondovi is pleased to announce cover crop planting services this fall. Adding cover crops like winter wheat can improve soil health, build organic matter, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, and increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Receive a $5 per acre credit in crop insurance next year. Olson Farms has cleaned and bin run winter wheat available. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Experience all things electric during the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event with Pierce Pepin Cooperative Services, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls North Hall. There'll be an EV showcase, test drive of electric vehicles, an EV roundtable discussion, electric tools demonstration, kids games, and more. Food and refreshments will be available. It's the 4th Annual Powered by Electricity event, Saturday, September 28th from 10 to 2 at UW River Falls with Pierce Pepin Co-op Services.
Dairy farmers, extend the life of your investment and keep the milk inspector happy when you resurface your mangers, feed bunks, feed carts, and more with a microepoxy surface from Osteoplastics and Supply. The microepoxy surface provides for easier cleaning of feed bunks, less feed waste, offers a non-skid surface, and withstands extreme temperatures and chemicals. You can repair your floors and equipment for less than replacing, and the increased milk production will pay for the installation. Find out more. Visit osteoplastics.com.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. A crisp and cool, refreshing day today under bright sunny skies as highs only climb to the upper 60s. As a few clouds filter in later this evening, overnight lows will fall to the low 40s. Patchy fog is possible early tomorrow morning, then it'll be sunny and 70. Grandpa's barbecue sauce, made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Currently, it's 65.
On AgriTalk, do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. We are in the middle of a conversation with Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. I'm your host, Chip Flory. We talked a lot about the fundamentals that Brian is thinking about in the grain markets there in the last segment. Let's talk about some marketing strategies here, Brian. Let's stay in corn here for just a moment. That close above 410 today, is that enough? Is that a signal to get something done?
You know, I like this corn close. It's constructive. We're still below, you know, support 414, maybe 416. We're below that key support yet. It feels like, you know, we should be 30, 40 cents higher, but we're still just about the same price we were at the beginning of the month, right after Labor Day. You know, it's just, we're just haven't gone much of anywhere for corn. We've tried to pull the market lower, haven't been able to, so we've rallied back up. I said earlier, I think we really had kind of have to change our marketing ideas that we were going to have this low in September, October. It now appears maybe the lows that were scored in August were early harvest lows, and we're having this rally. But I think you also have to reward this rally, especially on crop that you're harvesting. I've talked to a lot of producers that they're going to have overrun this year because of excess corn, soybean production. They're not going to have ability to store it. And so you have to look at what do you do with it at that point? Do you store it? A lot of these elevators are anticipating a big harvest as well. And so from what they've told me, they're looking at, you know, minimum storage charges for 3 months plus interest costs on something like that. You're looking at 14, 15 cents for the first 30 days. In our first 90 days, I should say, as a minimum. That's hard to overcome on a rally. I think you're probably better off looking at opportunities now to make these sales, get rid of the cash, don't pay storage, and then turn around and look to buy it back on paper some point. So I try and put myself in the shoes of a farmer. What would I do if it was my crop? And that's what I would be doing, is that we've had this rally. We're, what, the 30 cents off the lows for corn that we posted, 385. I think at this point, yeah, I would be, you know, trying to do something here on what I expect I'm going to have overrun that I'm going to have to take to town. It's going to be sold right now instead of waiting until it goes across the scales in 3 or 4 weeks.
Okay. All right. Same kind of attitude on soybeans?
Yeah, I think it's the same type of attitude, same type of strategy here. You've gone from 955 up to, what, 1040 now. So you've had an 85-cent rally, if my math's correct. You're back up near the August fifth highs. I think, again, if you have some crop that's going to be unable to be stored at home, if it has to go into that elevator, here's a good chance, I think, to go ahead and increase those sales. So if you're a producer that maybe bought puts earlier, time to make those cash sales, convert those puts into cash, and look to buy back on at some point down the road. That would be my strategy at this point in time now.
All right. The December SRW contracts, Brian, closed over 580 for the first time in quite some time. And you know, do it once, that's great. It needs to do it again to really build some upside momentum in there. I get that. But do you give it a chance now that we got the one close above 580?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you don't have that same fundamental pressure that the wheat market has, that corn and soybeans have. Corn and soybeans are going to be harvesting their biggest crops. Mm-hmm. In the case of soybeans, the biggest ever. And soybeans, in the case of corn, last year was the largest ever. This year will be the second largest. You don't have that same pressure against the wheat market. You don't have that same hedge pressure. So this market could easily find some more technical buying strength. Mm-hmm. But I think it's probably going to be dependent upon what corn and soybeans do over the next 30 days as much as anything. Because you saw good export business this morning. Those export inspections were 10-week high. I think you do continue to see that trend that, you know, this market comes off of its lows. still wanting to put, you know, some seed in the ground, give that incentive for the farmer in the southern plains to plant that winter wheat crop, they're going to be seeding more actively here in the next week to 2 weeks because it is starting to rain in the southern plains. Last weekend there was some rains, more rains in the forecast this weekend. It looks like that's going to be your best chance. And so we want to put that incentive out there for the farmer to go ahead and plant that crop and keep a premium in these prices.
Okay. All right. Very good. I don't feel like we missed anything on the grains. I feel like we should jump over to the livestock trade. Neutral cattle on feed report on Friday, but the market futures had to do a little bit of work to factor in some strength in the cash trade last week.
I thought we had good cash markets last week, $2 to $3 gains, and some of the feedlots are holding out for another couple dollars this week. We've heard, at least from some sources in Nebraska in the Dress region, that there may be some 94 cash being traded. At least that's what the packers are interested in paying this week. But in other spots, they may be trying to kill or slow their kills a little bit just to try and prop up some of their lost margins. They do have negative packer margins now for the first time in a couple weeks after paying up for last week's trade. But the cattle and feed report didn't tell us anything that's going to change or what the trade expects. It's right as expectations. We're going to see less placements. We're going to see those placements continues to stay fairly tight through the rest of the fall months. Our on-feed supplies are similar to last year. And you remember last year we had a pretty good market after a big drop in September, October, November, December. We saw a pretty good price appreciation. And I think we're kind of in that same pattern this year where we're going to see some decent movement as far as prices go back to the upside. But those cutout values struggling, that is the one difference from last year. That we're struggling with those cutout values, struggling to maintain some strength. And that's really what gets down to consumer demand. And if the consumer is willing to pay for the ground beef and willing to pay for higher price lowings of cuts here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heavyweight choices got back on top of $300. Well, they were above $300 on Friday, but just barely. Up $1.44 this morning, on up to $301.63. But movement stunk. I mean, it's just 37 loads. So there's some work to do to make me feel better about beef demand, at least here at the start of the week. It sure be nice to see some more beef moving, give us an opportunity to build some upside momentum in the cash. I just don't know if we can do it or not. Even with that said, though, Brian, to this point, consumer demand has just been impressive in this beef market.
Yeah, consumers, you know, buying habits are hard to change. You know, I think the lower end meats have certainly improved. The demand for that has definitely improved. You know, consumers still want to eat beef. They have switched maybe their buying habits to a lower quality of the ground beef. That's where we've seen a surge in some of the sales and some of the demand. You know, the 75 and 81% trimmings. That's really where the consumers still, even though they're not as high quality, they still want to have beef in their diet. So the demand has stayed strong. It's that demand for those higher quality meats that has sagged a little bit here. But we've seen exports start to improve. Over the last 5 to 6 weeks, we've seen our boxed beef sales outpace last year's sales. So the fact that we've, you know, dropped prices into these lower levels, it really has stimulated demand once again, and that should be positive for us to move forward here into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and those exports are high quality cuts. It's amazing. I mean, the U.S. consumer isn't the only consumer around the globe that loves corn-fed U.S. beef. There's no question about that. What do you want to do on marketing here? You got the D's at 183.82. It feels like a market where we're going to have to start putting some downside protection in place again, doesn't it?
I think there will be a time where we want to do that. I don't think it's here at 183, but if we get into the upper 180s, 188, 189, up to 190, that's when I would want to start doing something like that. I think that would be a good strategy from a risk management standpoint. You know, and there's certainly producers are, you know, with the drop in prices of the feeder calves, they have found an interest to put these back into their feedlots or start buying some. Some guys took a little bit of a break when prices got real expensive, and now their interest is back in doing that. So they're going to need a rally to lock in some profitable levels.
Yep. No doubt about it. No doubt. Man, oh, man, the volatility has just drained out of lean hogs because nobody wants to sell them and nobody wants to push that October through 82.50 here, Brian.
Right. Yeah, that's a pretty good support area. You know, we made a highs right around early part of September, around that 83.25, 83.30 range. It's going to get real tough to get above that, I think. You know, you're going to have to see some spec buy interest, some fund demand come into the marketplace to push prices back higher here. If, you know, that's what it's going to take. I don't think your open interest that you mentioned, it's dwindling. I don't think that recovers anytime soon because we're getting into a softer demand period for the pork industry.
Yeah. So give it a chance to rally if we're looking at getting some downside protection?
Yeah, you know, good question. I don't think you want to go too aggressive like yet right now. I do want to push it into the upper 80s, similar with December cattle. I want to push it into 86, 88 on October before we get any real active hedge presence felt. Okay. We do have a report coming out this Thursday, quarterly hog and pig report. So maybe that will give us a little bit of a stimulus to get into that price level.
Yep. All right, man. Good stuff again, Brian. Thank you so much for making time.
Hey, great talk with you. Good. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Appreciate it.
You bet. Brian Hoops, Midwest Market Solutions. Okay, we're going to take a look at the long-term charts coming up next. Kerry Artek with my look on corn cattle and Caterpillar.
Time is of the essence with COVID-19. Prescription oral treatment must be taken within the first 5 days of symptoms. If you have a high risk factor, ask your doctor if treatment is right for you. Learn more at treatcovid19.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Whether you own a local business or a global one, you know that these days, generating growth is a challenge. By teaming with Bank of America, you'll not just stay ahead of the curve, you'll move it. With access to experts, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter, locally and globally. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Copyright 2024 Bank of America N.A.
Brought to you by Navage. Don't let a cold, sinus infection, or allergies ruin your day. Breathe easier, sleep better, and feel healthier with Navage. Visit Navage.com, Walmart, Walgreens, CVS, or a store near you.
It's better over here.
If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has an exclusive rate plan just for you. Right now, get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for just $30 a line. That's a 45% savings versus Verizon and AT&T. Plus, you can get one of the latest 5G phones free when you add a line. That's right, a free 5G phone. Experience all this and more on America's largest 5G network. So why wait? At T-Mobile, customers 55 and up can get 2 lines of talk, text, and data for only $30 a line. Just go to T-Mobile.com/choice55 or visit your local store to make the switch.
With AutoPay using debit or bank account plus taxes and fees, 45% off 2 lines versus AT&T Starter and Verizon Welcome. Plan benefits vary. Free phones up to $300 off with 24 monthly bill credits and qualifying new line for well-qualified customers plus tax and $35 device connection charge. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue remaining bill credits, and if you pay off device early. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Our needs are evolving, and so is our lineup. Firestone Ag is introducing premium Bridgestone tractor tires engineered to meet your evolving needs, especially if you have heavy on-road driving habits. Equipped with the latest tire technology, Bridgestone tractor tires are designed with enhanced wear resistance and durability. They are engineered to provide excellent traction and ride comfort on the road while minimizing soil compaction. To learn more about Bridgestone tires, visit your local certified Firestone Ag dealer or visit firestoneag.com.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives every day. Every notification, swipe, social post, video, or selfie while driving risks your life. So while you might think public speaking or the zombie apocalypse is scary, what's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward. Don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Wake up. Get ready. Grab breakfast. Go to work. Grab lunch. Come home. Run to practice. Run to the store. Grab dinner. Go to bed and repeat. Food fuels your day. And we fuel the people producing it with the latest news, information, and perspectives from across the globe. Ag Day is a place to learn about the business of food and farming. Join us and our team of experts as we cover the stories that keep the world moving. That's weekdays for Ag Day, the country experience.
Looking for the best ag knowledge from top-notch industry experts? Join me, Mike Howell, on The Dirt, an economics podcast. From nutrient management to the latest weather, market, and ag trends, The Dirt is your place for farm smart topics to boost your profitability. Get ready to dig into Season 3 of The Dirt Podcast.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Cancer can feel like something we can't do anything about, but you can. There are screening tests that can catch cancer early when it may be easier to treat. Begin cervical screening at age 25. At 45, start colorectal and breast screening. At 50, discuss lung screening with a doctor. Find resources for free and low-cost screening at cancer.org/get screened. This is a public service message from the American Cancer Society.
Chickens have come home to roost. Find out whose fence they're perched on today on AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Monday afternoon, that means it's time for a conversation with Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory and WickedStocks.com. Kerry, man, it's good to talk to you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, Chip. It's great to be back.
Yeah, glad you're here. Okay, now you on the commodity side of things, go to artacadvisory.com. That's A-R-T-A-C advisory.com and get signed up for a free trial there. If you would like to take a look at the work that Kerry and family are doing on the stock side of things, go to wickedstocks.com. Get signed up for the free trial there. Kerry, get us started with Dease Corn.
Yeah, Dease Corn. So, I had a buy signal a few weeks ago, early September, that is still in effect above a price point that is now at 395 even. We closed today at 413 half, had a nice rally the last couple of days. The objective, the 3 to 5 week target since early September, may well be realized here over the next week or so at 426 even. 426 even is a descending 1 year channel top on the weekly continuation chart that actually performed really well in May. When we were trading in the 450s, it was around 455. Now it's 426. We fell away from that to new lows, and now it looks like we're going to be retesting 426 even. A respectable price ceiling that may contain buying pressures through the rest of the year. From there, over the next few months, we could fall to new lows. We remain in a long-term bear market, in my opinion, below 426 even. But if we can close above 426 even, and that's dropping every week, in price, then we've got a good low through the rest of the year into next spring. I would expect over the following 3 to 5 months or so, roughly 505 even on the long-term charts. Until then, this is a rally to sell. This is a counter-trend rally. And in fact, if we close back below 395 even, this market should pivot south pretty aggressively as we continue into later year, 344 even, then likely within about 2 to 3 months. And I've got a long-term 12-year channel bottom well below the market at 293 even. I can't say that I outright expect it, but holding below that 426 even 1 year channel top, I wouldn't be surprised if by this time next year, we actually could be in the very low $3 or the 290, 293 area. On to December live cattle. We rolled from October to December last week in volume. There is, I've mentioned on your show quite a bit over the last few months, a long-term rising four-year speed line, a one-third speed line, trend-defining line study projected off the April 2020 low. We tested it quite a bit, four or five times in the last 5 weeks when October was front and center. It's at 176.27 this week, rising a little bit every week. It'll probably be like 176.70 next week, et cetera, et cetera. And we closed today at 183.82 in the December live cattle. So we're well above it now. We've had a nice rally off of that speed line over the last few weeks. And in fact, holding above 176.27, I've got a big range of long-term resistance above the market that I'm expecting over the next several months. And that's 188.75 to 192.35. Okay. And that is just, you know, it's just kind of a wide, almost 4-point range of resistance that, if tested over the next few months, can contain buying through winter, possibly into spring of next year. In terms of whether we see it sooner than later, it would be a settlement above 185.35. So that's a level that can contain buying through next week. Remember, we closed today at 183.82, so we could test 185.35 this week. And if so, could contain buying through next week. Yet if we close above 185.35, I do see the 188.75 level in as little as 2 to 3 weeks, the beginning of a wide zone up to 192.35 that can contain buying, as I say, into winter, spring of next year. Downside, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it because we're so far off the mark, but if we were to close below 176.27, that would be our first long-term sell signal in 4 years, and I would then expect at least over the following 3 to 5 months, 159.52 would be anticipated. We're far away from that right now. And finally, a Caterpillar, large cap stock, obviously, symbol CAT. I got a buy signal in that last week, at the end of the week, when we closed above a price point that is right now at 358.25. That's a six-month channel top that we settled above. So Caterpillar's looking strong as we continue through the rest of the year. We closed today, well, last trade is around 372 or so. So 358 and a quarter, that's dropping about $1.10 a week. It's a descending channel top. You can buy dips into the upper 350s, 357, 358 area, expecting over the next few weeks, 382.01, which is the April high. But I do think that over the next 3 to 5 months, this thing could move into the 430s, 440s, 460s as a rising channel top that I now have as a 3 to 5 month target. So Caterpillar is looking pretty strong above 358.25. By the end of December, that rising channel top that I have as a 3 to 5 month objective is 462. So, you know, we're talking a solid, 25%, 30% move to the upside in the coming months. Now, if we were to close below 358 and a quarter over the next week or two, then we're off the buy signal. I think that this thing could unwind back into the low $3 area within a month or two, 304, 307 area. But for right now, solid buy opportunity, I think, in Caterpillar above 358 and a quarter. And that's really all I got you.
Awesome. Awesome. Good stuff, Kerry. I'm glad you've added this look at what's going on in the equities trade. It's really interesting. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You have a great day.
You bet. You bet. All right. Kerry Artak, Artak Advisory, and WickedStocks.com. All right, Davis, National Weather Service, 6 to 10-day outlook. This is for September 29th. Through October 3rd, I know that you're going to find this very hard to believe, but it's got above normal temperatures for most of the country. Mm-hmm. Above normal temperatures.
Now, I notice the temperature map is rather pumpkin spice-esque itself, though. You know, just the color palette.
You know, you are exactly right. Mm-hmm. There's no denying that. No denying that. Now, split on the precipitation outlook. East of the Mississippi, I'm just going to say that. East of the Mississippi, above normal precipitation, a band of near normal precip from north to south, and then we get back into below normal precip in the Dakotas, far western Iowa, Nebraska, Kansas, and even the western edge of Missouri looking at below normal precipitation. Jumping out to the 8 to 14 day, this is for October 1st through the 7th. The above normal temperatures stick around. The below normal precipitation pushes a little bit to the east, includes Wisconsin and western half of Illinois before we get to the near normal to above normal in the eastern belt again. All right, thank you so much for listening. Today we're going to be talking about EIDs, electronic ear tags, tomorrow. We're also going to have a conversation with John Newton from Farm Credit right here on AgriTalk.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here. I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oil investments involve a high degree of risk and actual results may vary.
Limited time left. Are you ready to seize a unique investment opportunity that could save you in taxes for 2024 and help you secure your financial future? Goldman Sachs predicts oil to remain in the $70 to $100 range. So why not invest in the uptrend now? That's the sound of a producing oil well and the sound of a smart investment. If you're